Now let's put the call to defund the police into a public policy context, a larger policy context. Michael Curry of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers joins us to help do that. Michael's also former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP and a member of the National NAACP Board of Directors. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Michael, it's been a particular pleasure over these last couple of weeks to be in kind of a sustained conversation with you as events have evolved since police in Minneapolis killed George Floyd on Memorial Day. From there to now, we've seen this emergence of calls to defund police, in some cases abolish police. There's a range of things that can mean. What do you make of the idea in general, and how radical do you find it to be? Or not?
Yeah, it's interesting because if you work in policy and you've been around these conversations, defunding is not a new term. It's what we apply to any conversation in policy. From a historical perspective, Reagan defunded human service and social services programs in 82-83. We've had conversations about public health and whether it's defunded or our pandemic response being defunded. It is not, I think we get so concerned and caught up in the words, but defunding is not new for policymakers. It's a decision about whether you're allocating your resources properly, whether you need to move money to a place that it's more necessary and more needed, and maybe investing more upstream to prevent the downstream impacts, like needing police, and investing more upstream in social service programs, youth programs, substance use programs, and so forth. So it is not this firebrand conversation that people should be concerned about. It is one we should have, and we should have it frequently.
Michael, I know you were listening to the previous segment where we were talking with Brock Sader and with Armani White, who were really taking very different areas of emphasis on police reform, one much more towards accountability, towards reopening old cases, prosecuting police, the other on budgets and where the money goes. The old phrase that comes back to me is, are you investing in prevention or detention? Is that all part of a larger landscape? And if it is, what other pieces should we be paying attention to in that landscape?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I sat listening to Armani and Brock and very encouraged. You know, we have a phrase in the NAACP, that courage will not skip this generation. And we're proud of that there are some courageous young people that are on the front lines pushing conversations around policy. I don't think that they were really disagreeing. I think it doesn't have to be an either or. Armani was arguing for defunding, means reducing the amount of money we do upstream or downstream in police departments and putting it upstream and investing in youth programs and so forth. I think it's a valid conversation. Armani would be sitting at the table with legislators figuring out what the budget should be for police departments. We spend about $115 billion or more on policing this country. Is that smart on crime, or are we still in a tough on crime stance? So I think that's necessary. I don't think he was at odds with Brock. And Brock was talking about police accountability, transparency. We need that. I think he's right. We're marching in the street for that. And people are asking for justice for George Floyd, for John Crawford, and a whole bunch of other folks, Tamir Rice, across the country where we didn't get justice, DJ Henry here in Massachusetts. But at the same time, you can still talk about reallocating resources for police departments. You can have both conversations at one time.
Michael, I know you know that the city council in Minneapolis, Minnesota, essentially moved to, over the next year, disband its police department and take different approaches both to public safety and law enforcement. Were you surprised that they did that? And will they be able to achieve their aims?
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. I mean, I went to college in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I know that they tend to be more progressive. And despite how progressive they can be, and they had police training and all the stuff that you would typically look for in a police department in a city to say that they were progressive and they were responding to the risk of police violence. They still fell victim to it, and they still always fall victim to it because they weren't doing enough. I think the Minnesotans that I know, and I know the Minneapolis NAACP president, Leslie Redman, is on the ground right now advocating for change. They're willing to sort of blow it up and look at a new way of approaching how to provide public safety. And that includes, rethinking, reimagining what police look like. And in Leslie's case, and we've talked about it, whether they get rid of police to some degree and then start having more community ownership around policing their communities. And I don't know what all that looks like. I don't know. You couldn't get 20 black folks in a room or brown folks in a room that's going to agree 100% on all of this. But what I'm encouraged by is that the conversation is rich, that people are willing to have a conversation we couldn't have had 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Michael, as we move forward, we're going to hear more about these public policy initiatives around the country. It seems there's going to be a lot of work to rethink and reimagine law enforcement, public safety. What about those voices who express alarm or concern that this could destabilize public safety, that moves to really remove or radically alter police forces will cause violence, crime, destabilization?
Well, you know, I would warn those people who tend to be alarmists that we've defunded police departments over the years in the course of our history. So it's a matter of who's in office. Some people want to be tough on crime, and they really sort of come into office with this tough on crime rhetoric. And whether it's legitimate or not that we need that level of funding for police departments is almost never the case. There is definitely certainly times when there's investments needed in police department, but do we need the tanks within police departments? Do we need that sort of militarization that we're seeing across police department and the huge, significant investments in that equipment and, and that basically weapons of war that's being deployed in communities and particularly communities of color? No, we don't need that. So why not have a revisit of all that budget allocation and expenditures? And I think what you're seeing across the country is you're seeing young activists of all races and older activists starting to revisit that and say, no, we challenge you on how much you spend. And why not put that into a school system to prevent that kid from getting into crime or getting into those situations? Why not invest that into mental health services that will prevent you from feeling like you have to shoot a mentally ill person on our streets? And I think there's a legitimacy to that we all got to pay attention to.
Michael, in our last minute or so, we've been in a very different world since the beginning of this pandemic. And one of the things that we've seen is that response to the pandemic seems to be the innovations and the efficacy seem to be coming from local areas, from state and local government. Is this a case where we will see the greatest change happening in localities? Is that where this is going to happen? Or is there something like the Justice for Policing bill that we talked to Congressman Moulton with about? Are there prospects there as well?
Yeah, I think it's going to be all of the above. Credit to Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Senator Warren, Congressman Presley, Moulton, and others who are on the front lines of advancing this bill, particularly to the Congressional Black Caucus. There's a lot of substance there that will reform how we do criminal justice in this country. And quite frankly, it's long overdue. We have been seeing Black and brown bodies murdered, particularly Black men murdered across this country and Black women. And it's about time that we do the kind of reforms that are necessary. I say that's in large credit to the fact that we have socially conscious people who are now willing to take some risk and change that. But it needs to happen at the state level. We need Governor Baker on the same page. We need our legislature on the same page. We need our city, town managers and mayors on the same page. And I'm hoping that we're in that moment now.
And that's Michael Curry of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers and member of the National NAACP Board. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.